Hello guys, today I'm looking at Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. This is an interesting game. This is what I would definitely call a normie game. This is a game that really appealed to everyone along the spectrum of gamers, and more so the gamers who wanted action-oriented, not weird stories and hyper-realistic graphics. This game was very interesting because, you know, it came out at a time when, you know, there was kind of like a war tension from, you know, still 9/11, essentially. You know, graphics were getting to the point where it was getting photorealistic, essentially. And so this was actually one of maybe the first photorealistic Call of Duties. And, you know, along with, you know, the gameplay and everything and the culture at the time, this was honestly a cultural phenomenon, not just a game itself. You know, playing it again today, it's definitely aged well, I would say. I mean, this really ushered in the era of shooters. After this game came out, everyone wanted to be a shooter, even more so than Halo. I think it's funny that this could arguably be the Halo killer. Honestly, the Halo killer is the fact that they stopped making it and gave it to 343, which I knew would be something of a disaster, but not as bad as I thought it would be. But yeah, this introduced people into the whole military shooter, cool, almost milsim kind of game. And every game that came out after this game for like a decade wanted to be it. Like, this was the ultra Chad of games. So what is this game actually like? Well, I remember even before it came out that I was playing Call of Duty. No, at a friend's place, and you know, I played a little bit of each game, but World War II shooters never honestly interested me. I just felt it was just like, well, we have modern guns, why would I bother with like an old shooter? And you know, even if the gameplay is really good, it's, you know, it's still from a time period where like I could be using a machine gun. I don't know. I just never liked World War II shooters. I never liked the aesthetic. I never liked the style. I never liked I just don't like World War II shooters. They're just kind of like depressing and drab and not cool at all. And it's always the same kind of like stories and settings. But with this, and while I was playing it with a friend, I was like thinking in my head, you know, what if they made a modern version of this? Like, what if they put these guns and these mechanics, but like in modern day? And it's so weird to think that like a modern day shooter was rare. I mean, there were other variations of it, like Operation Desert Storm, which is a squad based third-person shooter, but the first-person, like, fast-paced shooter was not a thing until this game, and I think a lot of first-person shooters, like, just technology-wise, you couldn't make something that reacted, you know, viciously and powerfully and have the environment explode around you and really do a lot of stuff because of technical limitations, but with this, it was kind of that barrier was finally breached, and this is what they created. It's funny, though, because I brought up Halo, something that Call of Duty definitely did borrow or steal from Halo. I mean, everyone stole from Halo, was regenerating health. I mean, in Halo 1, they still even had health packs and everything, but your shield was the main aspect that it allowed the player to get back into the action really quickly just by waiting rather than having to run around and find a health pack. Even though that might be more realistic, it was not conducive to actual fun gameplay. And so Call of Duty basically figured that out and gave that to the player and let them go wild. Another thing is that the guns, I didn't realize it at the time, but even comparing it to other games from the same time and even now, the guns in this game handle and feel really good. They all feel real. There's a whole little documentary on how Call of Duty was made. I think the controversial part is that they partnered or were partially funded by Blackwater, which is an actual PMC, so this game was like to get kids, you know, little boys propagandized into, you know, joining the army or joining a paramilitary group because, hey, you know, war and killing is fun, and so yeah, there's kind of the thing. And there was actually a huge social issue following this, even you know, I think there was lots of commentary on whether or not these kinds of games caused real world violence. I mean, it's this stupid, you know, social aspect of these games that they caused, but even things like Kojima commented on this. Kojima always actually had this idea back in Metal Gear Solid 1 that you would have these, you know, video game combat simulations that were going to be so realistic and so engrossing that you basically couldn't tell the difference between the game and reality, and it would be used in the future of training soldiers through video games, which is a pretty funny slash crazy thing. Yeah, the gameplay around Call of Duty, I mean, the multiplayer is amazing. It still is amazing. You can still find lobbies and matches today. But the single player, let's talk about the single player, because the story itself is actually not bad. When I first played it, I thought it was all over the place and completely discombobulated and very just honestly stupid. I hated the fact that, you know, you kept switching kind of characters, and it just never felt like a cohesive story. It's like, okay, here's one bad guy and another bad guy and like whatever, go find them. And I think someone compared it to like military meets James Bond, which I always thought is nowhere near what it is. It's kind of its own thing, to be honest. It's just, you know, frustrating when you're trying to get memorable characters and, you know, Shepard and Soap, you know, at least in this first game, they're not bad, but I thought at the time, by no means are these anything as amazingly written characters. But it's funny, as time has gone on, I've seen and noticed that essentially it did not get better past this in terms of characterization and story. And I think, you know, this might be a controversial take, but maybe story doesn't really matter, but what does matter is plot and pacing. And Call of Duty 4 has that in droves. It is so fun to play through the campaign because you essentially are just going from place to place, scene from scene, crazy stuff happening, things blowing up, you know, ships going down, nukes going off. That is just fun to be in the frame of that action and everything. What's also cool, and that I would say is a little bit unconventional, is you also play as the SAS, and it's multiple different factions. So you have the U.S. military Marines that you play as, and then you have the SAS, and you kind of jump between those two stories following the Middle Eastern lead and the Eastern European lead and how they tie together in the final aspect of the game. So again, like, the story's super simple. There is a Middle Eastern dictator, and a Russian has sold him, like, you know, nukes, basically. And then they track, you know, the nukes back to the Russian guy, and they take out the Russian guy. Like, it's every single, like, Hollywood blockbuster story conceived. There's nothing new or interesting about it. However, looking back on the game, what I think they did really, really well is these opening mission sequences where it have, like, the satellite imaging of, you know, the area and, you know, following the targets and all this cool technology stuff going on. You know, that kind of stuff, they kind of fell out of style, or they weren't able to do it anymore or as much, or it just wasn't as cool. The writing in these actual, you know, spots was actually really well done and really interesting and really just creative, frankly. It's kind of funny. I actually looked this up because I had no idea what it meant all this time. But in multiplayer, if you ever played as the terrorist, group, they were called OP4, which stands for opposing force. I just never put that together. That's what it stood for. In any case, though, but you have, you know, your good old fashioned American patriotic imperialist military going, "We're gonna stop the goddamn terrorists." And you have the more kind of personal SAS story where you have a small group. I think it's really nice that they just had a story where it just didn't have to be America number one. They could, like, share it with the British, I guess. It makes for a little bit of a more nuanced story. Again, something that I don't super like about the actual gameplay of Call of Duty is the fact that, you know, you just die super, super quickly, and you can shoot enemies super quickly. There's not a lot of strategy involved. It's much more reaction reflex. Also, the composition for this game is very well done. I think, did they get Hans Zimmer to do it, or someone like him? And so it has that Hollywood vibe to it, and so it feels really, really good, really realistic. Even the main menu music for this game has a distinct mood to it. In terms of, you know, how far shooters go in terms of creativity and, you know, just doing something interesting in general, I would say that Call of Duty 4 actually manages to pull off some pretty interesting twists and interesting scenarios, at least. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a pretty, you know, it's like a dumb shooter, you know. And so it's there for the normal, you know, people who don't play games and, you know, who can just play it for whatever and not worry about having an interesting or, you know, challenging story that makes you think. Another major thing that I think adds to this game's success is the sound design. It is just super, like, super well done. Like, the way the guns sound is a really big part of how they, you know, feel, how they handle. I find that some games that, you know, they get a weapons sound completely off, completely wrong. And it's just not quite the same thing. Another cool thing that this game did is that every time you die, you get like a little quote from some kind of famous figure or like an anonymous person. It just kind of adds to the atmosphere of the game. I think Modern Warfare 2's quotes are actually really good. They're actually thought-provoking, which I find very funny. So I think this game at least tries to educate people in some way, not just be another form of entertainment, but almost art on some level. But yeah, the game is fun, you know. I don't know what else to say besides that. Again, a lot of these games, when they step into the kind of HD space or they're reinventing their brand, they usually do a really good job, and it's always a very, very distinct, iconic, and memorable kind of a game. I think if I had to draw a comparison between this Call of Duty and the future ones, this one just feels larger, bigger, louder. You know, the explosions have a very distinct vibe and sound to them. The guns do more damage in general. You know, the underbarrel grenade launcher attachment for the M16 or any underbarrel grenade launcher for this game not only sounds amazing, but it almost instantly guarantees you a kill. It's just stupidly, stupidly overpowered. It's also interesting how this game mixes things up by having stealth sections, but the main thing of this game definitely was the multiplayer. That was a huge component of it. That, you know, this also introduced things like kill streaks were kind of a new thing. So the idea that you would essentially, you know, if you got 3 kills, you got a UAV. If you got 5 kills, you got a airstrike. And if you got 7, I think you got a helicopter. And so it's kind of funny how those were all kind of set and locked. And it's a weird gameplay incentive, honestly, that if you're already doing well, you're given more tools to increase your rank and score. It's a weird philosophy because usually that's something you usually give perks to sides that are losing or players that are losing the match to keep it more balanced. But here's the exact opposite. So the entire nature of Call of Duty was hyper, hyper competitive. The multiplayer itself too, you know, it had really good maps. Everything in it was very well designed. You know, all the guns and worked well. You know, the amount of times I've had, like, I can look at a map, I can have memories of each map of, you know, really great fun times where we've done like amazing things. But like, you know, I remember there's one time where like I forget what it was. It was the desert one with like the alleyway, the shops on the side, and I was like C4ing the same guy over and over again, and who was in this booth. It was pretty funny. It's funny. Call of Duty also had like local multiplayer, which people could also play. Obviously, it wasn't as popular, but if you didn't have online at the time, you could at least play with like friends or something locally. Favorite weapon in this game is undoubtedly the M21 Eber sniper rifle. It was a semi-automatic sniper rifle, and I adored that thing. I just thought it was the best thing, you know, pulling off a headshot and then, you know, trying to get someone else right beside the other guy. Just the best ever. The game kind of divides its classes of weapons into assault rifles, SMGs, large machine guns, or rather light machine guns, and shotguns and snipers. There are only about I think 4 or 5 snipers, only 2 shotguns, while the most of them are for the assault rifles and submachine guns and LMGs. Because there's a very small amount of these kinds of weapons in the game, there really isn't, I guess, a lot to you know, I just feel like in new games, you have so many different options and choices that it's like, hey, what's the difference between this assault rifle and this assault rifle? While on this one, each one has their own strengths, weaknesses, or there's a certain style to them. Each one has a certain look, and you very rarely find things that look the same. One of my favorite parts in the campaign, actually, is when you have to do a series of usually defense-style missions where you have a bunch of enemies like raiding you, and you have to defend against them. I think the iconic mission that everyone remembers from this game is the mission with MacTavish, where you essentially are in ghillie suits going through, you know, a Russia-controlled Chernobyl or something like that, where you basically are sneaking around the enemies, avoiding radiation fields, and taking out, you know, just swaths and swaths of guys so you can get to the checkpoint to assassinate the target. And it was such a iconic, great moment from the game that if that was the entire game, I would have been satisfied. The voice acting from those characters in that section of the game was just so much fun and so iconic. And that whole level, like to actually make a memorable single-player game in an FPS feels like a rare thing these days. But that was the peak, I think, of Call of Duty. And also what an influenced or introduced people in general to the concept of ghillie suits and what they actually were. Again, one thing I find difficult with every Call of Duty campaign is that you're pretty much fighting the same kind of enemy. I understand it has to be realistic, but in games like Halo or even Uncharted, sometimes you'll have like medium-sized enemies, larger-sized enemies, so you have to change your entire strategy. There are times when you have to fight tanks and, you know, planes and helicopters in this game, but it's usually just grab the Stinger missile for that one moment and then figure out what to do. You don't do a lot of adaptive gameplay. It's kind of mindless, frankly. And again, the multiplayer thing was mainly skill-based. You know, it's like, how many guys can you kill? How many kill streaks can you get? How many cheap things can you, you know, exploit? And the one cool thing, though, I will say about the multiplayer meta is that you start out with five slots, or loadouts, rather, for your character. And so that essentially implied you know, a complicit kind of correlation to the type of weapon you were using, you know, from assault rifles and whatnot. And so each class, along with a main weapon, you got to choose a secondary weapon, and also three different types of perks, and also two types of grenades. One normal offensive grenade, and one type of special grenade, which might be a flashbang or a stun grenade or something like that. And it was a really cool meta because then you could kind of create and construct an identity kind of for the character you were playing, almost. So you know that your assault rifle class is going to be your all-around, well-balanced offensive class. Your submachine class is going to be a specialist of some kind. They're going to have some weird little gadget or device to compensate for their, you know, short, you know, CQC fighting style. Your LMG is kind of your support class, so they're probably going to have LMGs and other weapons to take out the helicopter when it shows up, or other things, lay down covering fire and fill in a hallway, or, you know, I give a supply med kit, something similar to Battlefield. And then finally you have your sniper class, or rather, oh no, I forgot, yeah, so you also have your shotgun class, which again in this game is kind of your real CQC kind of sprinting close quarters class, where you are not aiming to take cover at all. You kind of go crazy, go running around the map, you know, knifing people, shooting people. And that's kind of your agility class, or your ninja class, or your rogue, if you will. And finally, you had your sniper class, which is all about stealth, you know, sneaking around the map, taking out the enemies, and, you know, sniping in itself is it's a whole class. And style by itself. It's really funny that when they talk about game balancing, you know, this gun does so much damage and this gun has so much range. And when you're doing a gun balancing game, it's really difficult because, you know, the sniper is a one-shot, one-kill, slow gun. So the only kind of debuff they can give it to make it fair is to make it shoot slowly and perhaps less accurately at close range. And so of course the meta that evolved around this game was taking the whatever the intervention sniper rifle and basically like quick scoping, so that when you, the people found out when you zoomed in really quickly, you clicked L, and that was actually a new mechanic, I guess, around this time, clicking L to zoom in. ADS, aim down sights, that's something that this game actually invented, which is kind of funny, or at least popularized it. I also thought it was really cool in multiplayer, you could put on night vision goggles, even though it was completely useless, except maybe on Bog. I just thought that was really funny. And it's funny, it actually reminds me of the very first Halo Combat Evolved multiplayer, where you could activate night vision on your sniper rifle, even though, again, it was completely useless. But yeah, each class has a certain distinct style of gameplay and a certain, you know, way of doing things. And, but yeah, the sniper was an issue because, you know, as people were figuring out, they can just quick scope and zoom in, and it's the, when you do ADS on the sniper, it was the stickiness, what they call, I forget what they call, like aim assist, I believe. And I think Halo actually brought that up, so that when you were, your cursor hovered over an enemy, it would kind of slow down a bit to let you, like, zone in on them. And so, in that case, you know, people were finding out an exploit where they just tapped the zoom in and then quickly shot, and they would, like, get an insta-kill. And so there was that whole range of people who did MLG things. And, you know, yeah, MLG kind of, you know, came from this. And MLG is Major League Gaming. But it became a meme where it's like, you know, they have, you know, like, air horns and Skrillex and dubstep and Doritos and Mountain Dew blast all over the screen, because that was, like, the most epic owned, you know, the guy jumped off the building and, like, got an epic kill by, you know, turning around 360 degrees and shooting the guy in the head, and it was like, oh, you know, like, that whole era of, like, epic gameplay, which I think is just so funny. If I could compare this game to any other one in the modern era, it'd probably be the Fortnite of its time. It was just so stupidly popular, and so, like, even, like, especially with kids, I would say that, you know, it was just, you know, it was everywhere. It was the game to play. It's like, this is the cool military game. And now every cool military game has that same aesthetic, but it's basically just trying to drain your wallet as fast as it can without even promising good gameplay. And so more and more games are trying to find more and more cheap ways to cheap you out of a cool experience without actually giving it to you. Anyway, I think that's all pretty much all I can say for this game. It was a huge cultural phenomenon. It was really, really cool for the time, and it still is today. It's a fun game to play. You know, it even has collectibles, little things. I remember you could collect, like, little laptops for, like, achievements. Oh my god, though, I forgot the main thing about this was the meta of playing the campaign on Veteran, the hardest difficulty, and the last mission that they have in the game is an extra bonus mission that I believe you get your own achievement just for beating it on Veteran, besides doing it on Veteran anyway, the whole campaign on Veteran, which is that it's Mile High Club, and it is essentially this. Like, you're on an airplane, and you basically have to take out and neutralize everyone on the airplane, and on Veteran, when you die very quickly, and there's nowhere to hide, it is literally almost impossible. It probably took me probably 100 tries to do it, but I finally did it, and it was just one of those games and experiences that were just one of a kind. And that level Mile High Club, again, it wasn't even a part of the campaign. It was like a special extra thing they added in. And I remember the strategy was that you would keep reloading at the main cabin as the main checkpoint. And what you had to do was throw flash grenades in two specific places, so it stunned the most amount of people. You had a rifle and a pistol. And what you had to do is you had to, like, always shoot the same amount roughly at while you, like, dragged across the screen to, or like you did, tracking. And you would have to switch your pistol at one point and then switch back to your main rifle, reload it, and then shoot the remaining guys, and then come around the corner and take out the two guys, hoping that you reloaded in time. And then it's so infuriating because the final part of that level is that there's a hostage and the whole game goes into slow motion, and then you have to shoot the killer before he takes out the hostage. I swear to God. And it probably took me 20 times at least, maybe like 50 times to get to that spot. And each time I screwed up, One time I screwed up because I was so nervous I couldn't shoot the guy in time, and so he ended up just killing like the patient or the hostage rather. The second time I was like too fast and I shot the hostage in like the neck, and it was like, oh my god, it was so close. And I think finally the third time I waited a second and then I shot the guy in the head, and then it was fine. I was like, thank God. It took me almost a whole day just to do that one mission on the hardest difficulty. But for anyone who's done it, it's almost a rite of passage for Call of Duty or this franchise. It's just very iconic and like, oh yeah. Anyway, guys, that's Call of Duty 4. Classic game, still good today, and infected a whole generation of copycat shooters. And a lot of people are saying they want to be the Call of Duty killer, which of course no one ever did until they killed themselves. Anyway, guys, I'll see you guys later, and take care.